Hey there, true believers, and welcome to episode 3 of the Face Front podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Marvel's Spider-Man, the new animated show that just came on Disney XD. Now, today, of course, like always, I'm going to be doing a giveaway. I'm going to get you the first 2 episodes of the show on iTunes if you can answer the trivia question at the end of the podcast. So make sure you stick around and get that question. You'll tweet the answer to @facefrontblog with the hashtag podcast prize and you'll win. Again, I'll go over all this information at the end when I give you that trivia question show. Let's get into the show. I'm going to go over the first 2 episodes titled Horizon High Part 1 and Horizon High Part 2. Now, I'll try and talk about them in order, but they're kind of going to bleed into each other because they came on so close together. So here we go. Let's start. When the show opens, we have Peter. He's taking on the Vulture, and he's really getting used to this Spider-Man thing. He's only been Spider-Man for 2 weeks, he says, since the origin shorts that we Disney put out not that long ago. So he's not really good at it. He's getting pigeons stuck to his hand. He's getting beat up by old ladies. And he's still trying to figure out the PSI to shoot his webs at, which I thought, like, the PSI thing is a good idea because it adds more realism to his web shooters, but I thought that they solved that problem in the origin because he was swinging around on his webs, but I guess not. But the whole opening sequence, it was a pretty cool action sequence, and I really liked the spider sense moment he had when he stopped that car. It's like time slows down, kind of like in some of the Spider-Man video games. You have that Spider-Sense mode that slows everything down, and he was able to stop the car and save everyone. It was a little weird that he had an Uncle Ben flashback while criminals were shooting at police. I was like, you don't really have time for this, Peter, but, you know. We get the, of course, great power comes great responsibility. I like how it's presented, like an equation, like, great, and then to the power of power, and then leads to great with to the power of responsibility. It's really fun. Like Uncle Ben wrote it in a way Peter would understand it, and I like that it's his phone background. But you know, he always has it with him because that's Spider-Man's mantra. Now let's get to the Vulture. I liked the mechanic Screech he had, kind of like the Black Canary, you know, in the Arrow show. But it's new. Vulture's never really done that before. I think he actually did have a Screech in Ultimate Spider-Man, but I thought it was a cool touch to add to the Vulture. And I don't know why his suit needed vibranium all of a sudden. That's number one, it's not smart to power your suit on a resource that's so rare and only found in Wakanda. But number two, it just doesn't seem like his suit would really need vibranium to work, unless it's for the Screech, and it works like Claw's Claw does. That kind of makes sense, I guess, but otherwise, the fact that he needs vibranium to power his suit, kind of not smart on Vulture's part. And, another thing is the origin of the Vulture. Apparently, he used to work for Max at Horizon, and he stole some things, and he got fired. So, I like, it's a quick overview of his origin. I guess we really didn't need a whole thing into Vulture's origin. A little more would have been fine, but I think this was sufficient. And that fight scene, the second fight scene with the Vulture, I don't know about any of you guys, but it seemed very, very similar to the fight scene in the first episode of Spectacular Spider-Man, when Vulture is flying around with Norman and Spider-Man has to save him. This one, he's flying around with Max and Spider-Man has to save him. It just, like, almost verbatim, but I'm not going to complain. It was a cool scene. Let's see. We get to Spider-Man. I want to talk about when Spider-Man saves people in this show real quick. Because when he saved those cops and when he saved Miles, both times he literally, like, I guess he drained his web shooters on him because he spun a giant web ball onto those cops and then he's like literally tied Miles up in a little spider web. I'm like, dude, just web him and pull him out of the way like he did to that one kid in the auditorium. But I guess he's still learning how to be Spider-Man, and so wasting a ton of web on saving people that's not going to dissolve for an hour. He needs to get better at that. I want to move on to the Peter and Harry's relationship. I really like their friendship in this show. Like, you can tell that they're brothers. They're there for each other. Like, they really trust each other. Harry trusted Peter to clear out his lab, and then Peter, he, like, felt guilty when he was taking over Harry's lab. So there's kind of a... It's a camaraderie that I don't think we've seen, really. Because, like, in the 90s series, Peter and Harry were... They were friends, but they were more roommates and didn't really know each other. And then they actually had a good friendship in Spectacular. In Ultimate, they didn't really spend a lot of time together. But I like how they're taking Harry and Peter's relationship in this show. Although, again, we have Harry pitted against Spider-Man. I don't know why they keep putting old Harry against Peter, but, you know, that's the time-worn Spider-Man tale. I guess they're going to stick with it. But I do like that Harry, he twice in the show, he offered Peter money, which I always thought was weird with their relationship, because Peter was always having money troubles, and his best friend is rich. So I always thought it was strange that Harry never offered to help take care of things for Peter. But I guess finally, for once, we see Harry offering Peter money. This something I've never seen before, so I'm glad that they acknowledged that, because Harry's rich and Peter has money troubles, and if he's his best friend, naturally he would offer to take care of him. Also, it's kind of fun that they're hanging out at the Cup of Joe coffee shop. That's Joe Quesada's Comic-Con panel, for those of you who don't know. So then we move on to Midtown. We didn't spend a lot of time in Midtown, which makes me wonder if the people we met at Midtown are going to be around for at all. Of course, Alistair and Spencer Smythe are going to be. They seem like they're ramping up to do big things. We'll get more into them later. But we had Liz Allen, and then we had Randy. I wonder if he's Randy Robertson, because he was doing a story for the school website, which kind of hints reporter, like Randy Robertson's father, Robbie. And, you know, he's an African-American character. So maybe it's Randy Robertson. We don't know. But I don't know if we're going to see a lot of the Midtown cast. We didn't spend a lot of time there. Then we meet Max Modell from the comics. He works at Horizon Labs. He's kind of the head of Horizon Labs. So naturally, he's the head of Horizon High in the show. He has a bigger role than I expected him to have. Actually, when I heard Max Modell was going to be in the show, I didn't think he was going to be as prevalent as he actually is. But Max is a really good guy, and he has a rivalry, though, going with Spencer Smythe, which I think Smythe, he's taken the rivalry with Max a little too far. Like, when he messed up Anya's experiment, there were kids, there were high school kids in the auditorium that could have died. So I'm just wondering exactly how far Smythe is willing to go. You know, like, I know the Smythe family aren't the best people, but is, like, really, you're gonna kill kids? Even Harry questioned it. Harry, at one point, remember, he said, I know that Smythe is, like, not a good person, but I don't think he'd go that far. Which is why, again, he was pitted against Spider-Man, because he thought that Spider-Man tampered with his experiment, or Anya's and Miles' experiment. Speaking of Anya and Miles, I like that they are introduced from the get-go. I also like that they do not have their powers from the get-go. I wanted to, you know, take our time to introduce the other spider people, so that is worth it, and it pays off. It's better to get to know them as people first, before we get to know them as spider heroes. Like, Miles was introduced in Ultimate, but when he was introduced, he was already Spider-Man in his dimension. So I want to get to know Miles first. I like the new take on him. They're amping up his intelligence a little bit. Like, Miles isn't dumb in the comics, but he was never, like, a genius level. So they kind of ramped up his intelligence. They made him friends with Anya. And Anya is turning out a lot like Ava Ayala from Ultimate Spider-Man. She's like super smart and doesn't like competition. So I hope she doesn't turn out to be too similar, but I like the way they're going by making her Miles' students at Horizon High. They're building out this genius cast. Speaking of geniuses, Peter is a genius. He's thinking of all of his situations scientifically. Like, he uses whatever he said instead of brain freeze. He just uses, like, scientific terms for everything. They're really leaning into Peter's scientist nature. Like, they did in the 90s series, Peter was very intelligent, and he always used science to solve his problems. But, you know, they went away from that in Ultimate. Like, there was a scene in Ultimate, it seemed uninspired. Peter was trying to create a cure for Venom, and he was mixing some potions together in a lab, and then he cuts away to the break the fourth wall, and he's like, hey, I'm a science geek, remember? And like, you know, it didn't feel genuine, but in this show, he actually feels like he is a science geek. Like, he can't help but be socially awkward by talking in scientific terms. And we saw the web parachute that he made. He always is making those little web parachutes, but this seemed to be like the first time he made it since he's only been Spider-Man for 2 weeks. And that was just ingenuity on his part. He just spun it, and Max asks if he knew how to fly it. He said, nope. So clearly his first time using it, but that's just Peter. He thinks on the fly with this sort of stuff. He made the rain machine out of Anya's vibranium machine while solving Max Modell's equation to put out the fire. So I really like that they're, you know, making Peter more intelligent. So then I said we get back to the Smythes. Alistair just seems like a spoiled brat. But Spencer, he seems like more the devious kind. He's clearly working with the Vulture and trying to set up Harry and steal Harry's inventions. It makes me wonder if he has a bigger role to play. I thought at first he would maybe be the main villain, but then he mentioned that the things he's been doing falls within someone's master plan. Master plan. I wonder where we've heard that. Otto Octavius. Anyways, speaking of master planners and supervillains, we get to Norman Osborn. He was mentioned. We haven't seen him yet. I'm glad that he's being played by Josh Keaton, because we haven't heard Josh Keaton's sweet, sweet voice since the Spectacular Spider-Man. It must be odd for him being in a Spider-Man show and not being Spider-Man, but hey. So, I don't know when we're going to see him. We know that there's going to be an Oscorp school called Osborn Academy. That's actually the name of the third episode next week. So, I hope we get to see Norman. Maybe he's the master planner. They could put a spin on it. Who knows? Speaking of the master planner, let's get to Doc Ock. This is kind of a weird take on Doc Ock. Like Peter said, he looks younger than him. So, I don't know if he's actually Peter's age, or if he just, like, is underdeveloped and looks young. I hope it's the latter, because I'm not sure how I feel about aging Doc Ock down. But he did seem like he was just an underdeveloped adult. Physically underdeveloped. So I like that the gag where he can't reach the nameplate, because, you know, he's going to be Doc Ock and he's going to need his arms to reach things. So we'll see where they go with Doc Ock. Again, unique take, but we'll see. We've already seen concept art of Doc Ock, though, so we might see him soon. Scorpion, he kind of came out of nowhere. No origin. He just showed up. And that's one thing I liked about Spectacular in the 90s series, is that we got origin stories for a lot of the villains. But again, you don't really, this episode didn't really have room to give Scorpion origin, so I guess if they need a villain for Spider-Man to just go and fight, Scorpion's as good a villain as any. It was a really cool fight scene, though. That part in the train, especially when Scorpion's like trying to hit Spider-Man with his tail, he's flipping all over the inside of the train, but it's an enclosed space and his tail scraping up the sides. The action scenes actually can get really cool in this show, so that's one thing I like. We also had a passing mention of Gwen Stacy. We know she's in the show. We've seen the concept art. We also know that she's going to become Spider-Gwen. We haven't seen her yet, but she's been played up to be so smart that she'll eat Peter alive, so we'll see. Another thing I thought was odd was Peter working on his suit at Horizon. So it's kind of like the comics when Peter used Horizon Labs to make gear for Spider-Man, which I thought was a fun little touch. But it's a school with kids, and there's probably security cameras. I just think it's a little risky working on Spider-Man tech in a, you know, I guess it's a private school, but there's probably cameras or something. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't work on Spider-Man tech in a lab without making sure that it's private first. But hey, if Peter wants to do that, let him do him. Now we get to the Spider Slayers. I think that it's really odd that Spider Slayers are showing up when Spider-Man's been on the scene for 2 weeks. Like I don't know if Smythe just fashioned them after spiders because it was, functional for what he was trying to do. But, like, creating Spider Slayers to destroy Spider-Man after he's only been present for 2 weeks and hasn't really been a threat to Smythe until just now seems kind of odd. But, again, the Slayers are part of the master plan, so we'll see where that goes. But Smythe's clearly after Harry's inventions. Another reason Harry was down on Spider-Man because Spider-Man had to get the pumpkin bomb away from Harry, but Harry thought he was pulling him towards the danger, so we'll see. I just said pumpkin bomb, but I'm assuming those are pumpkin bombs Harry made because they look like pumpkin bombs and they explode. So is Harry going to be the goblin first? We kind of thought that that's what they did in Spectacular Spider-Man, but they bait and switched us. It was actually Norman the whole time. But it was Harry first in the Amazing Spider-Man movies, so we don't know who's going to be the goblin, but those were definitely pumpkin bombs. I bet any amount of money on it. Spider-Man saves the day, quipping along the way. Spider-Man's actually funny in this. A lot of the jokes in Ultimate fell flat. Some of them were pretty funny, but Spider-Man, the way, like, when people start to recognize him, like, hey, haven't I heard your voice before? He starts disguising his voice like he did a country accent. He spoke Spanish, which I thought was really funny. It's good that Spider-Man's jokes are actually landing as opposed to other shows, because what's Spider-Man if his jokes aren't funny? The last thing I want to touch on are Peter's money problems. We were, again, missing that in Ultimate. We got that in Spectacular, though, and even the 90s series, too. But, you know, Peter, he's worried about Aunt May making the tuition for Horizon High, because it's a pretty advanced school. Like, so much so that he applied for the janitor job, with another Uncle Ben flashback, and Max Modell having the same advice as Uncle Ben. I thought that was pretty cool, but Max made him his lab assistant, so Peter lied to Aunt May and said that he got a scholarship. I don't know if that's gonna turn out well in the long run, but I just like that Peter, again, is having money troubles, because that's always been a thing with Spider-Man, at least in his early days. Now, in the comics, he's a billionaire CEO, but whatever. And hey, Aunt May was talking to Anna Watson, so we could finally see Mary Jane. If you've been looking at the blog, you know I really just want Mary Jane. So, final thoughts, this show is good. I like it. It could be the next Spectacular, the next 90s series, you know. I hope that it sticks around. I hope that it, you know, I hope it's just a really, really good show for time to come. Because we need another great, amazing, Spectacular Spider-Man show. So, again, I'm going to go back to the giveaway. Now, again, this is for the first two episodes of the show. I'm going to get them to you on iTunes. So, here's the giveaway question. We all know that Anya Corazon eventually becomes Spider-Girl. We know this from the comics, and we've seen her suit. The question is about her suit. It's based off of one iteration of a Spider-Woman. So I want to know which Spider-Woman Anya Corazon's Spider-Girl suit is based off of, all right? So go ahead and tweet your answer to @facefrontblog with the hashtag podcast prize. The question again is, which Spider-Woman is Anya Corazon's Spider-Girl suit based off of? If you get the answer correct, then I will get you the first two episodes of the show on iTunes. All right, so that's my short review for the Marvel Spider-Man show. I'm looking forward to it as the weeks go by. I hope it's a great show, and I hope you guys continue to watch it and listen to the Face Front podcast. All right, true believers, as always, goodbye, and I will see you in the multiverse.